We have come to Baptist Catechism 14. I will ask the question and then we will recite the answer together. What are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. As he began to write this sermon about God's providence, my mind went to the creation account of Genesis 1. As you know, God took 6 days to create, and on the seventh day He entered into rest. And I suppose that some might take this to mean that God entered into a state of inactivity, but that would be a misunderstanding. When the scriptures say that God rested, they mean that He rested from His work of creation. God does not create continuously as He did in the beginning. In the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth. He then formed and fashioned the earth and made it into a place suitable for humans to live. Lastly, He created man in His image and gave them dominion over the creatures. This He did in 6 days, and He rested on the seventh day from His work of creation. But God does not sit in heaven now in a state of inactivity, as if He were napping as human history unfolds. This would be a terrible misunderstanding concerning God's relationship to the world He has made. We confess that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now we are concerned with the question, how does God relate to this world that He has made? How does God relate to human history as it has unfolded? Is God distant from this world that He has made? Has He turned His back on it? Is He hands off? Is He sleeping in heaven? No, we must say that God, though He has rested from His work of creation on the seventh day, we know that He has entered into another kind of work, namely the work of providence. The question before us today is, what are God's works of providence? Our confession of faith, the Second London Baptist Confession of Faith, has a very beautiful and helpful chapter on providence. Chapter 5 is 7 paragraphs long. Each of them is important. But please allow me to read only paragraph 1 to you now. It says, God, the good creator of all things, in His infinite power and wisdom, does uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures and things, from the greatest even to the least, by His most wise and holy providence, to the end for which they were created, according unto His infallible foreknowledge and the free immutable counsel of His own will, to the praise of the glory of His wisdom, power, justice, infinite goodness, and mercy. That statement from Second London Confession 5.1 is certainly true, and it is very helpful. Now, our catechism teaches the same truths, but much more briefly. By the way, as you study our catechism, as you memorize it, as we go through it each Lord's Day, it's always a good idea to go to our confession of faith and to see those portions that correspond to it. The little sentences in our catechism are greatly elaborated in our confession of faith so that we might know even more about these foundational subjects. So what are God's works of providence? God's works of providence, briefly stated, are His preserving and governing all His creatures and their actions. The words preserving and governing describe two ways that God providentially cares for this world. Firstly, we say that God preserves this world. This draws our attention to the fact that God upholds this world according to the nature of things. While the earth remains, there is day and night, summer and winter, seed time and harvest. The process of procreation continues on in the animal kingdom and amongst the human race. We call this the natural order, but it would be a mistake to think that God is uninvolved. In truth, the natural order of things is upheld and sustained by the providential care of God. He created the world in the beginning, and now He preserves the world that He has made. He promised to do so in the covenant that He transacted with creation in the days of Noah Do you guys remember the Noahic covenant? One of the things that God promised to do in that covenant is to uphold the natural order of things. This should bring comfort to us. There are many who like to fearmonger in our day and age, claiming that the world is going to come to an end. Well, it will one day come to an end when Christ returns. But until then, God will providentially uphold the world that he has made. He does this through the eternal Son. This is what the letter to the Hebrews means when it says that he, Christ, upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Did you know that? That Christ, the eternal Son of God, is the one through whom God created the world in the beginning, but he is also the one through whom the world, the universe, is upheld. When we say that God preserves the world, we mean that he upholds it. And we also mean that he provides for his creatures. He gives us our daily bread. Or consider the words of the psalmist as he speaks to God, saying, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing." So this activity of God, his preserving of the natural world, his upholding of it, falls under the category of his providence. God created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. He formed and fashioned it into a place suitable for human habitation. He made man, but God did not depart from the world. He did not pull back from it. He providentially upholds it continuously. He holds the world together. He maintains the natural order. He provides for his creatures. Can I, again, just pause and say, can you see how important these truths are? Can you see how important it is for you to know that God, the good creator of all things, is not distant from his creation now, but he is intimately involved in it? Secondly, we say that God governs his creation. This is the second thing that is said about providence. He providentially upholds all things and he governs his creatures. When we say that God governs his creatures, we mean that he rules over them. God is Lord Most High. He is the Sovereign One. In Isaiah 46:9, God says, "I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose." So here, the prophet is speaking of God's eternal decree. When was God's decree made? We say in eternity. We could even say before the foundation of the world. But what is God doing now in respect to that decree that he has made? Well, he is governing the world that he has made to bring about all of his plans and all of his purposes. And what does God providentially preserve and govern? Our catechism is right to say that he preserves and governs all his creatures and all their actions. In other words, there is nothing that is outside of his sovereign control. Psalm 103 testifies to this, saying, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." His rule extends even to the smallest of creatures. I wonder if you remember what Jesus said concerning God's providence. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." And then Jesus says, "Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." So Jesus speaks of God's providence and says that it is concerned with even the smallest of things, the sparrows, the hairs of your head. And there in that text, we find another truth. God exercises a special kind of loving providence over his people. Listen to the way that God speaks to his chosen people in Zechariah 2:8. "He who touches you touches the apple of his eye." So God's people are especially precious to him. He exercises a special kind of providential care over his people. One question that people often ask when presented with this teaching is, what about sinful actions? How can we say that God governs sinful actions? And there is so much to say about this. I will be very brief, though. One, he governs sin by permitting it. God allows men to sin, but he himself does not tempt men to sin. This is what James says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. 2, God governs sin by restraining sin. This he does continuously. We should think about this more often, brothers and sisters. I think it would set our hearts at greater peace. God does restrain evil in the world. He holds back the evil one. He holds back even the sinful desires of men's hearts. He maintains civil order. What a gift from God. God is gracious to us in Christ Jesus in a special way, but there is also such thing as common grace. And by God's common grace, he restrains sin. 3, God governs sin by using that which is evil for good. There is so much mystery in this, but it is the clear teaching of Holy Scripture. Joseph knew this. I am talking about Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob, who was sold into slavery in Egypt by his own brothers. Joseph knew that God was able to use that which is evil for good. He spoke to his own brothers who sold him into slavery in this way. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. You know, stories like the story of Joseph and verses like the one I've just read, they are given to us in part to help us to wrap our heads around how God relates to the evil in this world. One of the things that we must say is that God is able to use that which is evil for good. The story of Joseph illustrates this, and Joseph's marvelous declaration makes it plain. He looked at his brothers and said, "You meant it as evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." And of course, the very same things could be found on the lips of Jesus, you know, those who crucified him. "You meant it as evil against me, but God has meant it for good, that many would be saved through my sacrifice." So we have learned that God's works of providence are his preserving and governing all his creatures and their actions. But you have probably noticed that I skipped a phrase in our catechism answer. Our catechism describes God's preserving and governing of his creatures and their actions as most holy, wise, and powerful. And this is a very important description, for it describes the quality of God's providence. God's providence is most holy. Psalm 145:17 says, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works." God's providence is most wise, for in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. And God's providence is most powerful. Indeed, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Daniel 4:35. The words holy, wise, and powerful should sound very familiar to you. They should remind you of Baptist Catechism 7. The question raised there is, what is God? Answer, God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. So the God who is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably wise, powerful, and holy is holy, wise, and powerful in his preserving and governing of the world he has made. The word most reminds us that these qualities are perfections in God. So God is most holy, wise, and powerful in all of his providential activity. Certainly, when our catechism teaches us that God's providence is most holy, wise, and powerful, it is to train us how to think about God's providence in relation to the evil, sin, and suffering we see in the world. The words most holy, wise, and powerful function as guardrails to keep us from going places we must not go. Does God preserve and govern all his creatures and all their actions? Yes. Does sin and suffering exist in the world? Yes. Does God do evil? No. Does he cause his creatures to do evil or tempt them to do evil? No. They commit sin and do evil most freely. God could not do this, for he is holy. Does he permit his creatures to sin and thus to suffer? Yes, he must. Is it a bare, meaningless, purposeless permission that we are here talking about? No. For God is not only most holy, He is most wise. Though we cannot always see the purpose of our sufferings, God does. He works all things for His glory. He works all things for the good of those in Christ Jesus. By faith, we confess this. And is there anything outside of God's control? No, for God is most powerful. Though it may seem to us that the world is out of control, it is not. God is sovereign over all. He is governing the world He has made. And again, I say, He is most holy, wise, and powerful. The question of God's sovereignty in relation to evil, sin, and suffering is not an easy one, brothers and sisters. Many books have been written on the subject. In fact, if you were to go to chapter 5 of our Confession of Faith, the one I began to read earlier, you would find a much more thorough and nuanced statement on this subject. And I would encourage you to read that statement sometime soon. But our catechism presents us with the teaching of Holy Scripture on this important subject. And it does so in a most succinct way, in a most clear way. It truly is a beautiful statement that we have. When all is considered, brothers and sisters, we must know that God is not asleep in heaven. No, He is preserving and governing all His creatures and their actions in a most holy, wise, and powerful way. And it is because of this that we can trust in Him. Did you hear what Jesus said after saying that even the hairs of our head are numbered and not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from the Father? That is a wonderful statement about providence, but how did He use it? He turned to His people and He told them to take comfort. He told them to take comfort in this truth, knowing that they were of more value than many sparrows, that God's love had been set upon them. So the people of God are to take great comfort in the fact of God's providence, that He is preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions in a most holy, wise, and powerful way. Our God is awesome, isn't He, brothers and sisters? Amen.